Hello and welcome to This One Time at Summer Camp, a podcast about the magic of summer camp. I'm Nick and here is Peter Davey. Hello.
Hey, that's me.
This is a regular, normal episode again. You know, the boys are back in town and we are talking about the magic of summer camp as always. And what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about hot tips.
Tips. I started that sentence by saying tips, and then I was like, do I have more to that sentence? No. So I said tips three times.
I mean, we could clarify what type of tips it's not. It's not frosted tips.
Advice, I'd say, is probably the thing. We are giving you tips, advice.
All the kinds of bits of knowledge that don't warrant its own episode.
Obviously, we are drawing this from our own experience, you know, going to camp on the East Coast. There's probably lots of things that don't apply to a lot of camps, but we're going to just try and hit as many very general things as we can.
Tip number one, particularly for internationals, and this is something I get all the time, people always go, oh, you went to Camp America. My friend did Camp America. Do you know them? And you're like, It's not a camp. It's a recruitment agency that send people to thousands of camps across the US. Not everybody in the UK went and worked at the same summer camp.
I mean, except for that one time that someone from my high school actually went to my camp.
Right. And one of my housemates at uni, his brother, someone that he went to school with, ended up working at Camp Moose Pine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's like a real tenuous link, but still.
Nah.
Camp.
That's still
without
wild.
Knowing each other, yeah.
I mean, England's a small place, right? There's probably only a few hundred people.
And that's what I told the children in America, and that's why most of us have been in the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, excellent. Here's a hot tip. Listen to our episode about lying to children, because lying to kids is always a good tip. Never tell the truth. Never be consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you get to camp, it's probably going to be quite overwhelming. Most likely, they'll have their own, like, bedding and stuff. If a camp is making you provide your own bedding, that's a pretty dodgy camp. I mean, obviously, if you are an American, you can bring whatever you want of your own. But if you're an international, they should provide you with all of the bedding and everything. But I will say, it is probably going to be terrible.
I kind of want to jump in and say something that you talked about in a previous episode with Nick, where, like, you know, make friends with an American who has a car. because once you've done that, you can go to Walmart and buy your own stuff once you're here. Like, don't bother bringing most things with you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people assume that they're going to have to bring everything they need for the whole summer. There's got to be a Walmart. There's got to be an opportunity to actually go away from camp. I'm sure if you haven't gone to your camp yet, you can always, like, message someone going there or talk to your director, whoever hired you, and just ask about what's nearby, because it's always really fun getting stuff at camp. I think my first year I brought so much clothing, and then I got there and found the thrift shops are so much better in America than they are here in Australia. And I ended up getting, like, a whole wardrobe worth of, like, thrift shop clothing.
Dude, I got these really nice shorts for $1. I had those for 5 years.
Wow.
For $1.
$1.
Like, they were so good.
I don't understand how American thrift shops are so much better than they are here. Like,
wasteful consumerism?
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, we got
capitalism, baby.
We got plenty of that here, Pete. Don't even worry. The next thing I want to talk about is one of my favorite topics, Walmart. I think when you get to Walmart for the first time, it can be quite overwhelming. They are genuinely one of the biggest single-story buildings you'll ever be in your life. I know that Walmart is an evil corporation, but my God, if it's interesting.
I'm sure it's the same for you, but, like, we just have no comparison. You know, like, I think we have a big supermarket near us. Like a grocery store, but it's not. It's way more than a grocery store.
Yeah, it's definitely better than any Tesco.
Don't be shitting on Tesco now, okay? How do you like it if I started talking smack about Coles?
Man,
you
know? they were serving horse meat. I think I can diss them a little bit.
I think you're thinking of IKEA meatballs, which you famously love.
Oh, look, you expect it from your IKEA. Although, let's not pretend Walmart isn't, like, above serving you horse meat.
Yeah, in the pantheon of bastards. Walmart's up there with Amazon, you know?
100%. But yeah, you got to get to Walmart. Let's go through some things you're going to need to get at Walmart. I'm going to start with duct tape. You're always going to find use for duct tape at camp. I've probably used duct tape for 100 different random tasks. Not just fixing things, but like building things. Like on rainy days, you have to like build stuff for your cabin as an activity. And if you've got your own duct tape, you can do a lot more. What else, Pete?
I'm trying to think of a Walmart purchase I made that I didn't later regret. Do you know what I mean? Like dropping hundreds of dollars there and then being like, what did I get? What did I accomplish? I think the best Walmart purchase I ever made was a waterproof box, A5 size with a clasp. Look, I mean, you just kind of mentioned rainy days there. If it ever rains and you have an electronic device, that was a good idea. Like a dry bag, dry box.
That's clever. And, you know, as well, when we say Walmart, we actually had a Dollar General near us. It is another store where you can get all of the things you need for quite cheap. A big thing I want to sort of shout out is tubs, like storage tubs.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a great shout.
It's a really cool idea if you actually go and get like a little plant. They do this like bedside table tubs with three drawers or two drawers or whatever you can like pull out. That ends up being so much better for just like generally living at camp, because you can keep all of your like nifty everyday items sort of right next to you. You don't have to rummage through one big backpack every time you want to get to all the little things.
Yeah, and on that, a like a mesh laundry bag, that was always something that I got told was like a must purchase my first summer, and it is super handy to just be able to, particularly if you are living out of your bag, separate your dirty clothes from your clean clothes, you know,
have a place to put them. Definitely, most camps are gonna run on a pretty tight time schedule. Like, everything is going to be sort of running like clockwork. So you're going to want to watch. And I don't think the best thing to have is your classic, like, Apple smartwatch.
Absolutely not, yeah.
Yeah, go to Walmart, get yourself just a waterproof digital Casio, and it will change your life. And make sure it's waterproof, because even if you work on land, we're talking sweat, we're talking rain, we're talking water balloons. We're talking Gatorade tub things that get dumped on you at the end of a soccer game. Just everything you own should be waterproof.
Yeah, I like never wore a watch, basically, ever in my life. I've never worn a watch. But even my first summer, I did buy a watch from Walmart, and I would just attach it to my bag strap, because I always had my bag with my water bottle and stuff in it.
Very cool, very cool.
Because if you're not early, you're late.
Wait, if you're...
No.
On time.
If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, it's unacceptable. That was our camp's motto. A good tip is to act like a dingus, is the best way I can kind of phrase that.
A like, dummy?
You can always tell, definitely, during the first few weeks of camp, particularly for new staff members, they're always a little bit timid, a bit reluctant. Some people, you know, think maybe they're a little bit too cool for school, kind of thing. And it does take a little bit of time, and everyone eventually realizes, oh, like, you have to act a bit like a crazy lunatic most of the time, you know, in order to survive, in order to fit in, because like that's what makes it fun for the kids. Don't be afraid to make a fool of yourself.
Yeah, I think on that as well, let's say you were a camper, or you're someone who went to a different camp and now you're transferring to a brand new camp. Just because you've been there before doesn't mean you actually know everything. Honestly, there is nothing worse than someone who's been a camper for 10 years coming in as a counselor and pretending like they're the expert, like the lord of camp. Just be humble.
Sit down.
Be humble.
Sit down. Nick made a Kendrick Lamar reference. Oh my God.
I know, it does not happen often. It does not happen. I'm not down with the rippity rap.
Yeah, acting like a dingus. That's a good thing to do. I'd also say, like, tell me what you think about this, Nick. Making an effort with people's names?
Yeah, absolutely.
Particularly if you've got a staff of, like, you know, probably at least 100. I don't know, depending on your size of your camp. The quicker you can learn everybody's names, the better, particularly because the kids will be there soon and you have to learn all of their names too.
Absolutely. There is nothing more awkward than when you get like halfway through a camp session and you're still going, hey, you. Like, whether it's counselors or campers, like I actually one time got to the end of the week and I was like, oh my God, I don't know this kid's name.
Yeah.
And like, thankfully, a lot of time you've got the co-counselor to help you out with that. But genuinely, there is... even if you've got a bad memory, I have memory like a goldfish, but there is tricks you can do. Like there is genuinely things like associating people with different things. A very funny example, actually. I met a guy, he comes to my work here in Australia a lot. And for the first time, he was like, oh, by the way, my name's Damon. And he was like a tall, skinny, like white man. And I thought he looks a little bit like Dennis from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And there's an episode in that show where they do a musical and they've got this song that's like, Dayman, fighter of the nightman. Woo! So whenever I see this guy in my brain, I go, Dayman. And I go, yeah, his name's Damon.
Yeah, it's that stuff that super helps.
My last year of camp, I worked with this guy, Gordon, and he used all of those sort of tricks where when he would walk into a cabin, he would like walk in there like in his brain, and he would use the association thing with every camper. You know, they would tell him his name, like their name, and he would like associate them with something. And he would like ask which bunk they were in. And he kind of made it so that in his brain, he could walk into the cabin, look at the bunk and like know the name and like what camper like stays there. And he managed to memorize 100 kids' names like every single week. And that just takes a lot of practice.
That's crazy. Doing a Sherlock Holmes mind palace.
Yeah, honestly.
Do you want to know my tip for remembering people's names?
Go for it.
So that scenario you described where, you know, you're getting halfway through the summer and you still don't know some staff members' names when, like, you really ought to know their names by now. What you do is you get one of your kids to go up to that person and, like, you coach them beforehand. So you're like, hey, go up to that person and say, hi, my name's Drew. And then... they'll be like, hi, my name's... and then get the kid to come back to you and tell you their name. I have done that on several occasions.
Yeah, that's clever. That's clever. Get them to spy for you.
just ask someone else.
This one is pretty basic, and they'll probably get you doing this anyway. It is a good idea at the start of the week to actually really spend some time in the cabin getting your kids to bond with each other.
Giving them the opportunity to interact outside of those pre-established friendship groups if they already have it is like super handy, particularly because there's always going to be, you know, several kids who don't know anyone coming to the camp at all. So getting them to, you know, everyone to weasel into the same friendship group is super helpful. And also like almost like having a theme, you know, establishing a theme for your cabin or like a common goal or, you know, you're purposefully... building those experiences is a good way to like galvanize everyone into being a team, being a squad.
Yeah, well, Pete and I, when we were co-counselors, We called our cabin, I think, the Lion's Den.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely lion-based.
It was definitely lion-based, and we would, I don't know, be like, oh, cabin 18, assemble, or whatever, and they would be like, roar! And other cabins could be like, oh yeah, the lion cabin.
Yeah. Do you remember, was it one morning, one breakfast, it was one mealtime, we walked in and got them to play The Circle of Life by The Lion King.
Yes.
And then, because we had a group of teenagers, right? But one of them was like super short compared to everyone else. So then we held him up underneath the shoulder pits in front of everyone and was like, Simba! And smeared some zinc stick over his forehead like Rafiki.
Yes, I remember that. That was amazing. You know, just thinking about music, that's actually a good point. Before you get to camp, if possible, make a playlist that is camp appropriate. Honestly, music is such a big part of camp. Obviously, if you don't have a speaker, someone else is going to have a speaker. And as much as you can, you know, you're going to have like a playlist. It's so good if you wake someone, like your cabin up every single day to the same song. Just something about the psychology of that. Like it gets them, like they know, like they listen to that song.
Gets the people going.
Definitely. They listen to that song and they're like, let's go. Or actually, when we did our interview with Eric Glickman, he was, you know, saying in his story that like his counselors, whoever was on like the worst chore in the morning, they got to pick the music in the morning, which was really awesome.
Yeah, whoever had to deal with the toilets gets to choose a song.
And as much as a lot of the kids are going to want you to just play whatever the latest bops are, I think it's a really good idea to just introduce kids to whatever weird eclectic music you like. Just honestly, just don't be afraid to make kids listen to whatever, as long as it's camp appropriate.
I really feel that in terms of like trying to introduce kids to old school songs and get them like hype on it. What was it? Working at this camp in Australia for quite a few times, I work up the kids to, do you know the song Renegade Master?
No, I don't.
Literally on repeat, it's just back once again for the Renegade Master, D4 Damager, bow to the people. And like, it's, you know, it's definitely in that kind of Euro 90s.
I think I actually have heard that kinda, song, yeah.
Yeah. You know, introducing them to that kind of music that they're definitely not going to know otherwise.
Definitely recommend. Honestly, I did Kentucky. If you're not familiar with it, it's basically just like a bus tour you can do through the world, different parts. You live on the bus and party every day, pretty much. It's a party bus. Anyway, pretty much every different Kentucky, they'll have a song that they play at the start of every single day to get you hyped up. And they'll always pick a different song for each group to do that with. And you just create this scenario where every time you hear that song, you just think all the way back to Kentucky and it brings you right there. And I remember on one of the trips we did, our tour guide would always make the DJ play our song. And then we'd all just like lose it.
Yeah, man, for sure. It's such a powerful tool, and I can think of so many different examples where we've done that, and obviously I still remember them. And kind of on just whilst you've mentioned traveling, I don't know if you would have had this, but there's a thing that some recruitment agencies try to do, where they encourage you to book post camp travel with them. Like, they'll offer a tour of different places, and I would say don't do that. My first summer, we had a couple of English counsellors who booked one of those trips, and towards the end of the summer, we're all planning where we're going to go together, you know, like in a big group. You don't want to miss out on that.
I think another thing, if you are international, don't feel like you have to assimilate to the culture of America. You're trying to bring your own culture and background to the campers. And sometimes it's really cool for them to, you know, hear a lot of international like slang and learn about where you're from and have a completely new experience, meet someone that maybe never going to meet just in their hometown.
Yeah, for sure. Like having international staff is such a big boost for a camp. And yeah, keeping those personalities is good. But also, you know, once I've asked kids to get into a queue for the 50th time and they still don't understand what I'm saying, like I just have to say get into a line because otherwise things don't get done. And I kind of like forcefully picked up some Americanisms that way, you know?
Sometimes you do need to. Like in Australia, we call flip-flops thongs. And a thong in America is a very different thing. And you only need to...
Yeah, you tell a kid...
Yeah, I told 10-year-olds to put their thongs on. It did not go over well.
Yeah, man. You ask a kid to put rubbish in the bin, they're not going to do what you're going to ask him.
Put trash in the trash can. I've also, you know, we spell some words with a U rather than like an O in sort of, you know, British English. And I hate it when I spell mum like M-U-M and Americans try and like correct me.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you on this. I feel so passionately because we had this thing at our camp where we would write letters home to the parents of the campers. So they would get them after the kids had gone home and just, you know, talking about our week and, you know, saying how lovely the kids were and stuff. It's a really nice thing, really nice sentiment that we do. And so when I would have to write the word counsellor, I would spell it the English way, right? And then I got told off on multiple occasions for writing it that way and that I had to spell it the American way. But I'm like, surely that lends authenticity to the letter of an international person writing it. Do you know what I mean? Are they going to believe I'm English? Hi, my name's Peter. I'm from England. And then I write counsellor the American way. They're going to see through that.
That's it.
I'm spelling colour the proper way and no one can stop me.
Hundy P.
You know what else you were saying about... you know, being an international and having your own culture, unless you're specifically from the area where the camp is. I think that's also a relevant point because when you are outside of camp, the locals will absolutely know where you work. You know where I'm going with this, Nick?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Like if you're in the local town or whatever going around, like if you act a fool, every single person knows exactly where you're from. I think that's a good point just to note. Like if you speak funny, they're like, oh, they work at the camp.
It's the clothing as well. Like if you're not out and about wearing camp clothes, you're probably wearing tie-dye.
Yeah, I once went to the grocery store food line and I had my entire beard filled with green paint. You know, even if I hadn't spoken a single word, they still would have known where I worked. Like there's no way you're getting away with that.
That's very funny.
Super itchy. I don't think I did it again.
You know, two different years, I won the like the camp award for most stylish. And that's, I think, 99% because I didn't wear like tie-dye. I would wear like loose button-ups every day. And I guess people are just like, a button-up? This fancy man.
Lame.
I know.
I had like 15... Hawaiian tropical shirts that I just, yeah, wore those constantly.
Yeah, that'll do it. I don't know. It's just how I like to
dress.
They
had buttons too. I never got most stylish.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pete. You were robbed. What's another genre of tips? I mean, just a quick little one. You probably don't, but we had the luxury of having a air conditioning unit in every cabin. And... Mm. We figured out, or someone else figured out long ago, that if you put two like pencils in the air conditioning unit, like kind of propped up, put
in the grill.
Yeah, you can put cans of like soft drink or soda, if you will.
Don't give in to their language, Nick. Stick to your guns. All right, what would you call it in Australia?
Soft drink. You could put soft drink on the pencils, and the cold air from the air conditioner will actually keep them cold. So you can have cold drinks at all times in your cabin. But another tip is don't let the kids do it.
Otherwise, you're blocking up the whole grill and then the cabin gets hot.
Yeah, and then the kids who have soda will go to war with the kids who don't. It's a whole thing.
There was a cool science experiment that you used to be able to do in the UK where you have two cans, one diet, one regular. And so like regular Coke and then diet Coke. And you put them both into some water and the diet one will float and the one with sugar will sink. But the UK government brought in a sugar tax a couple of years ago. And so because they've reduced the amount of sugar in the cans don't sink anymore.
Oh, cool.
They float, which is good in some respects because we're consuming less sugar, but bad in the fact that the can is now not dense enough to sink and show that disparity. So actually, 4 days ago, I was at a bar and they were selling some American Mountain Dew that has 44 grams of sugar per can, per 330 milliliter. Ooh. Like if you actually measured out 44 grams of sugar, that is a mountain of sugar. But I was also kind of stoked to find a can that was dense enough to sink. So I bought four of them, two to drink and two for demonstrations.
Actually, I've got a tip going sort of to the dining hall. Again, this might not apply to all camps. It definitely applied to the two I went to. But you have your meal time where you get in line to get your food. But both those camps had like a salad bar that was sort of just fair game. Like you could just kind of come and go to the salad bar. I would always, rather than lining up for 10 minutes to get lunch or whatever, I would go straight to the salad bar and then I would eat that. And then I would line up and then get, you know, your main sort of meal. And then by then there would be sort of no line. Now, I know, of course, sometimes there's those situations where they actually will run out of certain foods and you want to get there first so you get the best or whatever. But if you've got the opportunity, just do salad bar and then get the meal. And then you're probably going to be ending up like eating less junk as well. Like most camp food is junk food. And it is a very good idea to get some fiber in somewhere.
Yeah, man. You got to stay healthy. Because camp is it's a toll. It takes a toll on you. And if you're not running at peak efficiency, you're gonna break down so easy. So, like, taking that. Having a good water bottle.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Like, a big insulated water bottle. Yeah.
Game changer.
Hydrate or dehydrate?
The 36 cups of water. What was the quote there?
46.
Oh, yeah, because they say drink 4 to 6 cups of water a day or something. And we always said, drink 46 cups of water a day.
Okay, so hear me out. We had this fake news program in the morning whilst all the counsellors were setting up their activities to keep the kids entertained like after breakfast before they went to their first activity. So they would like give them some reminders and, you know, and random segments and bits that they would do. But one of them was, remember to drink 4 to 6 cups of water an hour. And then everyone would be like, 46 cups of water an hour? They're like, no, 4 to 6. Like 426 cups of water an hour. And every time, every day, every summer I've ever been at camp, that was always the bit every morning.
So good. I mean, I love those repeating jokes at camp. You got to have the bits.
Yeah, that's a weird way to phrase that, but I think everyone knows what we mean.
Yes. I mean, when you
live for the recurring jokes.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've talked before about how camp is like a cult and it can be easy to sort of get separated from the real world. But don't forget that you're actually going back there at some point. make time to keep in touch with the people you care about on the outside world. Sometimes camp can be so hectic, and FOMO is one of the most real things at camp. There is always something happening, and sometimes you feel like if you spend your lunch break Skyping with someone back home or whatever, you might be missing out on everyone's going for a ROFO run or something like that. Royal Farms. But it is important because, you know, when you leave camp, the main thing you'll have left is the people you left behind. And it does sort of keep you in touch with your real life.
Damn, that was deep.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I'm being real, I went to camp. Well, I went away nearly 7 continuous winters. Like, I was gone for most of, like, 3 months every single year. And I genuinely lost friendships in that time, like, back home. Because you disappear for a quarter of the year or whatever every year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just don't forget about who you're leaving behind.
Well, she...
Sorry, you know. And then I don't want you to follow up with, oh, here's the best candy to get in America or something. Maybe another tip is sample the local foods and goods.
Try one of everything.
Yes.
The Wisdom Zone.
It takes 2 wipes to know you needed 3. And 3 wipes to know you needed 2.
Oh, man.
That's a hot tip.
You know what? That hot tip actually goes right alongside with my salad bar tip.
Gotta get that fiber.
Man, where do you get these? That was a good one.
You need something to bind all the sloppy joes together, you know?
Jesus Christ. Oh, sloppy joes look the same at both ends. Anyway. It's been good just doing a classic episode. I feel like I start half of every episode we do by saying, oh, we're going to be doing something different this week. And again, if you do that like every week, is any of it really different?
I think we tried to establish early on that the format of this podcast is there is no format. Just whatever the heck we do. And it'll always be at least somewhat summer camp based.
Yes, most certainly. On that, I do think this is probably one of our classic sort of format episodes if we had one, which we don't. So shut up.
If you want to hear a packing list episode, you know, get in touch. If you have any other suggestions, any other stories you want to tell us, you can find us by emailing us at thisonetime@summercamppod@gmail.com or hit us up on Instagram. This one time at Summer Camp Pod.
And of course,
you can find our website.
Yeah. We have a website now.
Summercamppod.com.
Summercamppod.com. We're very fancy. We have a .com.
For real? Like, if you haven't yet, you need to check out this website. Nick Leslie is an absolute wizard.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Like, way better than we deserve.
Definitely. And our producer, Dante, made some AI images of us for the website that we should probably change. They are very funny.
That's a real pick.
Yeah, 100%.
If no one knows what I look like, just that's what I look like, okay?
Same here. Although mine actually does look a lot like me.
Okay, what? So you're trying to say yours looks more like you than mine looks like me? Do you know that movie Small Soldiers?
Yes.
With the toys that fight each other. You know, the main guy. I feel like mine looks a little bit like that.
I see it.
Major Chip Hazard. I can't believe I remember that.
I can't believe you remembered that as well.
What?
That's amazing. When was the last time we saw that movie?
2008.
Nice. Well, yeah, a classic camp movie.
The nicher the reference, the sweeter the juice.
I always say that. So don't forget to check those out. Send us any tips you have about camp, and we will see you next time.
What's Wundles plus Wundles? Toodles!